Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie from Parks Casino in Bensalem. Wonderful to be with you. Of course, the beautiful Parks Casino Sportsbook. And every Wednesday, of course, we have the opportunity to talk to the Diddy. Currently at 12:45, but Ray immersed in his phenomenal play, Tommy and Me, which is ongoing. He'll be back in studio with us next week for the full hour. But today, by way of the phone, and an awful lot to talk to Ray about, is brought to us by PGW. Choose a parts and labor plan that covers all your natural gas appliances or just one, and get PGW's expert technicians on call for a one-time low cost. Choose your plan at PGWPLP.com. Again, that website, PGWPLP.com. We welcome the Diddy, Ray Diddinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, Ray. Always better when I have the opportunity to talk to you and you make some sense of the world for us. So, Ray, let's start with the Eagles. And, you know, you have been fairly critical, and I will say fairly, meaning it's been fair, your commentary, of Nick Sirianni through the first 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw what we saw last week. And I can only imagine that your concerns with Sirianni, despite a road win that they were an underdog in, are ratcheted up. What is your assessment of what we saw Sirianni's hand in the offense last week and what you've seen out of this guy in the first, you know, month of the season?
It's sort of all over the place. I mean, there's been stretches when I thought that he did a really good job. I thought that even though they came up short against Kansas City, I thought the game plan was a pretty good one. On a day when your defense couldn't come up with a single stop, you know, the offense kept you in the game for three quarters, which I thought was pretty good. And I thought the game plan, the way he came out and attacked what we now know to be a kind of suspect Kansas City defense. I mean, he came out and attacked them aggressively, called a lot, I thought, of really good pass plays for Hurts, got him in a really good rhythm, and they offensively, they were pretty good. And then comes Carolina, and, man, it was, that was pretty rough. I mean, for three quarters, the offense did next to nothing, and they looked like they were going to lose the game. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, the defense really bailed you out. The defense played really well, kept you in the game until the fourth quarter where the special teams comes up with the big play, gets the block punt, and then the offense gets the opportunity and goes down and scores. So, Sirianni described it as a team win, which, you know, it was, really. I mean, all three phases certainly contributed. But his play calling to me still remains a puzzle. I can't quite figure out what he's trying to do in long stretches of time. He has really good playmakers that don't get the ball nearly enough. He seems to me to lean awfully hard on a young quarterback who's still learning. There's a lot there that I find puzzling. But they found a way to win last week, which is very important in a week like this when you got the Buccaneers coming in. It would have been a tougher game to prepare for if you had lost in Carolina. So coming back with the W, I think, was had to make everybody feel a little better.
Ray, when you say he leans awfully hard on a young quarterback, is he – opening this offense up the way he should, allowing Jalen Hurts to throw the ball downfield? The limitations, you know, all the dink and dunk stuff. From your perspective, is that because he believes Jalen Hurts can only do that? And like, that's what puts us in a better position to win than if he actually opened it up and allowed him full field reads and to push the ball downfield more?
Yeah, I don't know, John. I really don't know what his thinking is. I mean, clearly that's the end result. I mean, that's what you're getting is that kind of offense. I mean, early in the season, we talked a lot about the fact that they didn't use the middle of the field at all. Well, now they're doing that. But there is an awful lot of dink and dunk stuff. And I don't know how much of it is what he feels best suits the quarterback or if it's what he feels best suits the receivers. You know, how much maybe he doesn't think he has those guys. But, you know, it seems to me that Quez Watkins to me seems like certainly a, you know, I mean, he certainly seems like a vertical threat every time he's on the field.
Yeah, he gets up and down field.
He does, and he runs pretty good routes. I mean, you've had, you know, Devontae Smith has stepped out of bounds. Jalen Reagor stepped out of bounds on deep balls. Quez Watkins hasn't. Yeah. So it seems like he knows what he's doing, and he can certainly fly. I think he really kind of needs to have a bigger role in the offense. And, you know, while we know now it appears as if Dallas Goedert is not going to play this week, but, I mean, when he does come back, I mean, you have to find more opportunities to get him the ball because, I mean, to me, coaching really does come down to identifying who your best players are and certainly the skill positions and game planning to get them the ball. You know,
that's what he told us he was going to do.
Well, yeah, exactly. And when early on before we even actually got on the grass, you know, just talking in general about his philosophy, it was that, you know, we're going to use everybody. You know, we're not going to be locked into a system. You know, we're going to go from week to week, and, you know, we're going to prepare for our opponents. We're going to do what gives us the best chance to win. But really, we're going to give the ball to our best playmakers. And to this point, I just don't think he's done a particularly good job of that.
Is it? Well, my worst fear is that we were told he interviewed great. I mean, that does make a lot of sense. I guess that would sell me if I'm Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. Hey, I'm going to build the offense around the skill sets
of
the
players. Yeah, but everybody's going to say that. I mean, no coach is going to walk in and say anything otherwise.
Why did they think this guy, because he said it, was going to be able to do it? Because they hadn't seen him do it. He hasn't done it.
Yeah, it's always a leap of faith.
Now, I mean, when he is doing it, it's not like it doesn't line up with what he said.
Ray, how much are you concerned or still concerned that Lurie and Howie are involved in game management more or much more than they should be?
I don't know. I think that this, you know, when people hear this conversation, I think sometimes people think that, you know, Jeffrey's sitting watching the game with a headset on, talking to the coach, you know, calling the plays. And that's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this with you guys last week when John was talking about having played for Al Davis, an owner who really did want to wear a headset during the game.
Yeah, he did.
Jeffrey's not that. But I think that in terms of the broad strokes of philosophy of exactly, you know, how he thinks his team should play, what he thinks the offense should be in this era of football, I mean, he certainly has his beliefs there. I mean, he certainly has his idea of what good offense is, and that's what he's looking for in his coach. I mean, that's one of the things that he's looking for in the interview process is, you know, he's not going to go for, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, that interview would last about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants a guy that's going to push the ball down the field. And, you know, Sirianni doesn't seem to be – I think that if offensively he's probably a, you know, an open the book and throw the ball kind of guy. I'm a little bit disappointed that early when he was talking about his offense in the broadest possible terms, he said, "Yeah, you know, with this era of football, it's a passing league for sure. But we're gonna run the ball. We're not gonna look like our running backs. We feel like we have good running backs." Well, that's all true, but he hasn't utilized them, in my view, nearly enough.
Ray, let me ask you. And this is going to sound like a really tough question, not to answer per se, but tough on Sirianni. But I'm going to ask it because I'm starting to think about it. Do you think there's a chance Nick Sirianni's just not that smart?
Well, it certainly wouldn't. That certainly wasn't the scouting report I got on him from the other people I talked to when he was hired. I mean, to me, he was a mystery. I mean, I knew his name, but I knew nothing about him, really. And when he got hired, it was sort of like, wow, okay. And I started calling some people around the league who I respect and have what I think is a pretty good knowledge of who's coaching and who's doing what. I got to tell you, every one of them liked them. I mean, every one of them did. And first word out of their mouth was energy. the first word, energy, energetic, whichever word, that was always the first thing. But very quickly followed by real smart. I mean, whip smart. I mean, everybody said that. You know, and I kind of believe that. But this is the first time he's ever done this. And I think that we all kind of said going in it was going to be a learning year. From week to week, there were things that he was probably going to do wrong. You just hope he learned from them, and if you made a mistake, he didn't make it the very next week. So that's the only, that will only be proven out over time.
Yeah. Ray, I mentioned on Monday after the game, Schmitty's line, the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it, the next day in the paper.
Yeah.
I think this is a classic week where it has applied. Now, in this case, talk radio, maybe a little more than the paper, but on both fronts. Do you think the town's been too down this week? I mean, do you think the reality that the Eagles won a game that they were an underdog in, on the road, in a, I would say, must-win scenario, has kind of been obscured by all the criticisms this week, maybe too much so?
I don't know, Joe. I mean, I have to tell you, honestly, I haven't heard that much.
People have been very down.
Okay, that surprises me because I was on with Angelo for my little Monday visit, but I haven't been listening the rest of the week, so I don't know what people are saying. I've been down here with Tommy and me, so
I mean,
I've been a little out of touch.
Fair enough. I mean, I'll just say the basic, narrative from Sunday was they won a game because they made three or four big plays. Quez Watkins catches a bomb, a special teamer blocks a punt. They have to drive 25 yards, and they do, and Hurts shows guts and heart to do that, but the offense basically did nothing for three quarters. And while the defense played much, much better than it had, they played against a guy, in Darnold that looks like he won't be a starting quarterback in 2 years. I mean, that's been a lot. No, not everybody, but a lot of people are saying that, and,
Ray, let's talk about that part. Was that game Sunday good defense by the Eagles, or was it more bad offense? Which was more responsible for the outcome?
Well, the Eagles were certainly better, but the Carolina contributed. Going into the game, I looked at their offensive line, and their offensive line is not very good. And they had a couple injuries, too. I mean, their offensive line wasn't that good coming into the season, and then they were down a couple guys. So I really thought that the Eagles could have real success working against that offensive line, and they did. The whole defensive line, I mean, they were bringing it. And Sam Darnold, you have a guy who is very susceptible to that. I mean, I know that he had started off the year pretty good, and people were talking about, Sam Darnold, comeback player of the year. And I said, let's wait a little while on that one, because to me, he looks like the same guy. And it's going to go week to week based on how much pressure he's under. That was my question. Can the Eagles mount the kind of pressure that I think they're capable of mounting against this opponent? I mean, that was really it. I mean, up until this point, last couple weeks, the games against Dallas and the games against Kansas City, they got no pass rush. They got no pressure. And if it had been the same thing here, I mean, Darnold might have had a halfway decent game. But they took advantage of a poor offensive line, and they exposed Sam Darnold's weaknesses, which is just a skittishness and a discomfort level in the pocket that when he doesn't have protection, he can't perform. So it was there for them, and to their credit, they took advantage of it. Jonathan Gannon did a few different things. I mean, he ran a few blitzes. He shot the linebackers through the A-gap. Not a lot, but just enough to put that seed in Darnold's mind. And he brought the two corners up to play a little more aggressively, which I think they kind of have to. I think Nelson and Slay really need to play tighter press coverage. They're much better doing that than they are playing in a zone. So those adjustments weren't big, but they were enough to make this defense perform a lot better. But clearly, Carolina is what they are. You're dealing with a whole different animal tomorrow night.
What's the way to attack that guy, Ray? I mean, Tom Brady, you've seen him play a million times. Have you ever noticed a best way to try to beat him?
Pressure. I mean, you look at the Super Bowls he's lost, that was it. I mean, the two to the Giants, the thing that they had in both of those games was they got pass rush out of their front four. And they were able to drop, they were able to cover the field, and they were able to get pressure from the down four. And Brady really struggled with that. I mean, you saw that. And you've seen that time to time throughout his career. And this is not unique. I mean, quarterbacks, that's true of all quarterbacks. I don't know any quarterback that plays better under pressure. They all need some degree of protection. And you are talking about, even though he's the greatest quarterback ever to take a snap, I mean, he is 44 years old. So if you're going to beat this guy, you have to start with getting pressure on him. And they're going to, and that's going to be something that they've talked about this week, no question. But you know, a much better offensive line than what they saw on Sunday down in Carolina. I mean, this guy Jensen at center is really a good player. I don't know how many people watch him much, but if you're a tape watcher, watch this guy play. I mean, he's really, really good. And I'm kind of curious to see tomorrow night how they use him. I mean, is he going to be sliding Cox's way, or is he going to be sliding Hargrave's way? They might be pushing him towards Hargrave the way Hargrave's been playing. But he's, I think, very, very underappreciated. I think he's one of the best centers in football.
How do you think they attack us? I mean, their offense, are they on the ground? Are they balanced? Are they using those weapons through the air?
I think it's going to be, John, I think Brady is looking at this Eagles linebacker core and just saying, that's it, you know, right there. I think he's going to come out, and I think he's going to play action. They're going to run the ball, I think, for some success.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see them start running that play where he, you know, it's that classic play action where he sticks that ball out there and it looks like a run, and the Eagles linebackers are going to have to respect it, and then he's going to pull it back and he's going to drop that ball right over their heads into that big middle area, and he's got plenty of targets to throw to. You know, I think that's one of the things that's made Brady great, among a million things that make him great, is he is really good at knowing exactly where to attack the other team. Even in a short week, even though he hasn't had a whole lot of time to prepare, he's a quick study. And when you're looking at that Eagles team right now, and you're looking at the linebacker play that you're getting there, I mean, that's right where he's going to go. He's going to set it up. He's going to set it up with the run, and then he's going to cut them to pieces with play action.
Yeah. What about the new linebackers who we saw a little more of with Edwards and Davion Taylor, but also Edwards did some nice things. Any cause for hope there?
Well, Edwards to me is—he's just purely between the tackles and the box run player. He's not a guy that drops. He's not a guy that can cover one on one. He doesn't offer you much in terms of pass coverage. He's just a thumper, but he's pretty good at that. Taylor, the reason they drafted Taylor was they wanted a really athletic linebacker who could do that other stuff. Maybe blitz some, but really, really, most of all, get some real. Cover some real serious grass and pass coverage. And, I mean, they've been waiting for him to get healthy and get on the field, and he finally did. On Sunday, that's the most snaps I've seen him play.
Yeah.
And he seemed to find the football a fair amount. What a boon that would be if they got him. I mean, because he's a guy they drafted the third round with real expectation that you know, he's going to need a little development because he didn't play a whole lot of football, but they wanted to get him on the field as quick as possible, and it's kind of been a long wait. But, you know, Sunday may have been the start of actually getting something out of him, and if he really is a pretty good player, well, they could use it because they're not real strong at that position, and I kind of think that's going to be the area that the GOAT's going to go after tomorrow night.
Ray, awesome stuff. Of course, Ray Diddy with us every Wednesday. Ray, try to control Seth tomorrow night if the Eagles only run the ball four times. I don't want him to, you know.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that scares me. You look at the stats.
I know.
You know, you look at the stats as the worst, you know, this is the worst pass defense in the league, and I think that this coaching staff, they'll point to that and say, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, and you're going to ask Jalen Hurts to throw the ball 40 times. And
brutal.
I don't think that's a formula to win here.
Brutal.
Ray, we'll be talking to you next week. Of course, Ray, this weekend as well. Ray, who do you have this weekend for Tell Us Your Story?
Tell Us Your Story this week is Freddie Barnett.
Oh, very cool. Arkansas Fred. Ask him about the time he burned Darryl Green, the first time he faced Darryl Green, and an offensive lineman had a holding penalty and the touchdown didn't count.
Freddie was a really good interview. I should let people know if that will be on Sunday, not Saturday. Normally Tell Us Your Story is Saturday, but Freddie will be on Sunday
good.
This week.
And Ray, the play going good?
The play's going great. I mean, we've had really good crowds, standing ovations every night. We've gotten really good reviews. The press has been very kind to us, and we're expecting really good crowds here the rest of this week. We have shows running right through the weekend, and we close on Sunday. So if anybody wants to come out and see Tommy and me, you know, go online to the Delaware Theater Company and order your tickets, and hope to see you here at the theater.
Wonderful. Ray, congratulations. Ray, I'm going to put you on hold because James has a question for you back in the studio. Thank you, Ray.
All right. Take care, Joe.
Thanks, all right. There Ray. He is, the Diddy, Ray Diddinger. All right, let's talk to Devin in New Jersey. Good afternoon, Devin. Devin not ready to go. We go to Colin in Delaware. Colin, you're on WIP.
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Colin.
This whole Ben Simmons, I'm with you. He could easily apologize, say I'm going to work harder. Whether or not I believe him is a whole other story, but I'm ready to trade him. Whatever, we get 10 cents on the dollar, whether it's John
Wall. Yeah, but it can't be. Colin, that's where that's been my point this whole time. I want him gone too.
Joe,
it can't be 10 cents on the dollar.
What if he's just not good enough? Like, do you really expect Daryl Morey to fleece everyone?
No.
If Ben Simmons is not that good and his personality makes him even worse, then how are you really supposed to get a haul, like a top 10 player in the NBA, for a guy who's nowhere close to a top 10 player in the NBA?
Okay, no, fair question, John, and I don't think they are going to get a top 10 question. I'll answer your question by sort of addressing Colin's scenario, John Wall. Colin, I would rather... even though I want Ben traded, I would rather the Sixers not trade Ben Simmons for John Wall, keep Ben Simmons, play the season, try to win 50-something games, and try to take on the playoffs again with Ben Simmons. And I'm not looking forward to that, but I'd rather have that.
Where you know we'll fail.
Dude, you don't think they're going to fail more if they have John Wall?
Ben Simmons
Wall,
is a liability. And he will be.
You think John
and
Wall,
this year,
you think John Wall's not a liability?
No, but this year Ben will be a liability in the regular season as well as the postseason.
John Wall, you're not going to win your 55 games. You're not.
Ben is no longer a piece that works here.
Well,
even in the regular season.
Neither is 10 cents on the dollar. That's my point.
Joe, sometimes you just have to cut your losses.
No, I don't.
Ben
I
became a pariah because he's afraid.
I know.
And so now you expect a trade to be made?
Colin, don't
everyone knows what he is.
Colin, don't you love when you call and John and I go off on a tangent and you've spoken for 4 seconds?
Sorry. Sorry, Colin.
I enjoy hearing you guys. I mean, I'm with John. I'm always here. I'm sorry. He's a liability. We don't even want him on the floor the last 2 minutes of the game. We have to go through that conversation again.
Yeah, but I don't want John Wall on the floor for 48 minutes. For any minutes. Colin, what would have broken the internet?
How about the first time man made fire? It would have.
Man made fire. You got it, man.
Wow.
All right,
yeah.
I think it went like, what is that?
215-592-94.
Check out this video. You'll never believe it.
94. There you go. All right. Up ahead, speaking of Ben Simmons, Doc Rivers on the record just a short time ago, John, talking about if Ben Simmons will play tomorrow night, or excuse me, Friday night when the Sixers play their preseason game Friday. What did Doc say? You're going to hear it next. Show to Cameron John Ritchie from Parks Casino on 94 WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.